It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Last night's Academy Awards ceremony capped off an eventful year in Hollywood. Last summer, the actors and writers' strikes stopped production of films, and blockbusters like Greta Gerwig's Barbie and Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer brought moviegoers, many of them, back to the theaters. With 13 Oscar nominations, Oppenheimer was favored to win big last night. It did, earning Best Director for Christopher Nolan and the Best Picture Award. But there were some surprises along the way and memorable moments, not all Oppenheimer all the time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you have a favorite movie or performance from last year? Did it win last night? Do you watch the Oscars every year, or do you just wait for the highlights the next day? What were the big wins or upsets that stood out to you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Thomas is the features editor for the Cap Times. He writes about movies and TV in his Substack newsletter. Not that Rob Thomas. Rob, this Rob Thomas, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having both of us.
Yeah. Now, overall, the ceremony, they try different things from year to year, keeping it on a time schedule, things like that. How did this year's awards shape up for you?
I thought this was the best award ceremony they've had in years. They've been kind of rocky, tried different hosts, tried no hosts, tried different formats. This was a year, I think, and part of it was they just had really good movies that a lot of people were interested in. I thought it was a really entertaining ceremony, and it even ended before 10 o'clock, which you can't you can't fault.
They got an earlier start this year, too.
That's right. Yeah. It started at 6 o'clock, you know, and there's like 10 hours of red carpet before that, I think. But I think that really helped. Another thing I think that really helped was they really limited the montages of like the same clips from the same classic movies that they always do. There was one montage saluting stunts, but other than that, it was pretty focused on the people in the room and the ceremony. I think that was a really smart move to kind of keep the momentum going.
One interesting thing was for the main actor and actress awards, they had past winners do a little spiel about each of the nominees. There was an interesting connection to, you know, the Hollywood history and a kind of a cool way to do it, I thought.
I really love that. They've done that off and on in past years, and I think you know, it's like even if you're one of the four people who don't win, you still get kind of a little, you know, ego jolt because like an actor or actress, maybe somebody you really admire, gives you a, you know, gives you a pep talk and tells you how great you were. Some of them were really great. Like Nicolas Cage was praising Paul Giamatti for being blind throughout the entire shoot of The Holdovers and said, I definitely do that. And some were very heartfelt. And it was just nice, I think, to see those kind of personal connections and you know, I think at this point, who wins and who loses is almost less important than just sort of like celebrating the movies and getting the sense that the people in the audiences have a good time.
Well, let's imagine a particular person in the audience, say, to pick a job at random, radio host.
Okay.
Who used to see a lot more movies, doesn't as much anymore. Maybe they stream episodes of TV shows more than they used to. I think it's me. I'll let the secret out. I think I may be part of a trend there, and Hollywood's got to not like that trend. How did you see this, the crop of movies at the Oscars and the ceremony itself, trying to bring people back to the movies, theater or streaming?
Well, I think they were very smart in seeing that, like, they had a phenomenon last year with Barbenheimer, with Oppenheimer and Barbie. And so Oppenheimer was a clear favorite to win awards, as you said earlier. Barbie got shut out sort of strangely of a couple of nominations. But then the Barbie kind of owned the night. I mean, you had Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig and America Ferrera in the front row being part of the thing. And then, of course, Ryan Gosling singing I'm Just Ken, which I think was like, I think that's going to be like one of the top 10 Oscar moments. That and the streaker we'll see in 50 years from now in ceremonies. It was so much fun. It was like a karaoke rock concert that even if you hadn't seen any of the movies other than Barbie, like it was so much fun, right? Yeah.
Talking to Rob Thomas from the Cap Times, looking at the Oscars and at movies in general. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you see Oppenheimer? Do you think it was worthy of the pre-Oscar hype and all the awards it won. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's talk a little bit about Oppenheimer, Rob. So I was looking, it was, I think, the number 5 grossing movie from last year. So pretty solid showing at the theater, but a serious movie. I mean, this seems like the kind of movie that used to win Oscars all the time.
Right, and used to be a big box office hit. Mm-hmm. 10, 20, 30 years ago. So it was a little surprising that a 3-hour R-rated movie about, you know, did so well at the box office as well as critically and at the awards. And I think it's a sign that audiences will come back for a movie like that if it's really well made and interesting and there's sort of a real buzz behind it. You're kind of seeing that now with Dune Part 2, which is a, you know, a fairly bleak R-rated blockbuster, but like, you're seeing all kinds of people going to see it. So, you know, there's a lot of turmoil right now in Hollywood about, as you mentioned, streaming earlier and trying to recover post-pandemic. There was a big labor strike last year, but, you know, these are hopeful signs that, like, if they just make high quality films and present them correctly, that people will come back to the theater.
I want to give a listen now to one of the award winners last night, turning here to Best Supporting Actress category, Divine Joy Randolph. This is like a fun moment in her receiving the award. Here's a little bit of that.
For so long, I've always wanted to be different. And now I realize I just need to be myself. And I thank you. I thank you for seeing me. I have to give a special shout out to my publicist. And I know y'all said don't say nothing about no publicist, but you don't have a publicist like I have a publicist. You have been by my side through the entire thing, and I am forever grateful. I pray to God that I get to do this more than once. I thank you for seeing me.
Set a nice tone there, Rob.
Yes, and the nation's publicist finally get a well-deserved nod, but, you know, yeah, that was all the four acting speeches I thought last night were really good. Like Cillian Murphy's for Best Actor was really good. Emma Stone, I mean, I know she's a great actress, but she seemed genuinely surprised to win. And that was a very emotional speech. And Robert Downey Jr., you know, he obviously owns the room, but he's, you know, had a checkered history, which he kind of alluded to. Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought everybody kind of brought their A game. And, you know, even though some of them felt like foregone conclusions, it was still entertaining to watch.
And then another moment, this is a Best Adapted Screenplay, right? Not always your marquee moment that everybody's watching for. Interesting talk about the movies and the business itself. American Fiction won that award. Here's writer-director Cord Jefferson in his acceptance speech.
I understand that this is a risk-averse industry. I get it. But $200 million movies are also a risk, you know, and it doesn't always work out, but you take the risk anyway. And instead of making one $200 million movie, try making 20 $10 million movies. There are so many people. I just feel so much joy being here. I mean, I felt so much joy making this movie, and I want other people to experience that joy. And they are out there. I promise you, the next Martin Scorsese is out there. The next Greta's out there, both Gretas. The next Christopher Nolan's out there. I promise you, they just want a shot. And we can give them one. And this has changed my life. Thank you all who worked on this movie for trusting a 40-year-old black guy who'd never directed anything before. It has changed my life. Thank you. I love you all. Thank you so much.
So it's been a long cliche that Hollywood wants that one blockbuster hit. They'd rather make one $200 million movie that's going to bring people than roll the dice on a bunch of little ones. What do you think of his philosophy there?
Well, yeah, from his lips to Hollywood's ears, I think. And I think lately that his argument might have a little more traction because we're starting to see some fatigue with all the superhero movies and that used to dominate the multiplexes. There's not that many this year and we're seeing some failures. So hopefully they will see that, like, you know, I mean, there are a lot of different voices out there and most importantly, a lot of audiences will come see these different kind of movies and, you know, and they can sort of smell now when, like, Madame Web was sort of a butt of a couple of jokes last night, a superhero movie that kind of flopped. And audiences, I think, are starting to become savvy and smell when, like, a big blockbuster movie is not all that. And they'll give it a pass, especially since now they can just wait 3 months and see it on streaming. Yeah.
Rob Thomas is with us, features editor at the Cap Times. He writes about movies and TV in his Substack newsletter. Not that Rob Thomas. He's with us for a look at last night's Academy Awards ceremony and the year in movies. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What were your favorite movies from last year? Were they nominated for Oscars? Did your preferred choices win in particular categories? Did you enjoy the production of the event itself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are talking about the Oscar Awards ceremony yesterday, looking at the big movies of last year. You could join in with your favorites, your favorite moments from the event itself at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Thomas is with us from the Cap Times. Let's bring on a caller. Ron is with us in Iola. Ron, hi.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Ron. Go ahead.
Well, I may be behind in the times, but why wasn't The Sound of Freedom ever recognized, ever given any credence at all? It was a wonderful film, and it talked about its subject matter was something that is terrifying for young women all over this world.
Ron.
And yet...
I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. No nominations. Now, this is a movie based on a group that works on sex trafficking around the world. It subsequently came under fire for a lot of controversy. The person it was based on ended up leaving the organization, accused of sexual harassment on the job. But this was a movie that I think was number 10. I was looking at the grosses last year, largely because of word of mouth. Rob, your thoughts on that? Why it might not get Oscar recognition?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of movies that didn't get mm-hmm. recognized. It might have been the political or the controversy surrounding the film, as you mentioned. I don't really know. I didn't get the chance to see it. So,
gotcha. Ron, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. I want to go a little off the beaten path, Rob. You wrote about the animated short films category. Not something that I think people necessarily show up to see, but it's great to see what is out there in the world. People might think animated and a lot of fun. You wrote they're pretty serious this time around.
Yeah, it was every year people ask me, should I take the kids to this one? And this year I was like, do not take the kids to this one, because the winter was War's Over, which was based on the John and Yoko song, and it was a World War One, and that was like the lightest fare of the bunch, and there was, you know, the Holocaust and murderer and all these things, and they were really good and really interesting, but it's funny how that category is sort of turned from like those Pixar shorts that used mm-hmm. to play before the movies to these really sort of challenging movies.
And there were a lot of serious themes in not just that short category, but I mean the big winner, the invention of the atomic bomb and the McCarthy era, things like that. A lot of serious content. Killers of the Flower Moon, also a very dark period in American history. There was a lot of serious stuff in this year's crop of movies.
Yeah, and Zone of Interest in particular, which was the brilliant and really harrowing movie about the Holocaust and was shown in a very different way than usual Holocaust movies, which won Best Sound and Best International Film, and the director gave a pretty impassioned speech about the war in Gaza in his acceptance mm-hmm. speech. And that was, and I think the Best Documentary Feature was about the Ukraine as well. So it was there wasn't a lot of overt politics, like mm-hmm. like Nobody and Oppenheimer really tied that movie to present day, but certainly the movies that were selected, they were. Even, you know, selecting movies that had more serious themes that kind of reflect the times.
Yeah, you mentioned the Best Documentary Feature, 20 Days in Mariupol, recounting the early days of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Here's a director, Mstislav Chernov, talking about why he wished he hadn't had to make the movie.
This is the first Oscar in Ukrainian history. And I'm honored. But probably I will be the first director on this stage who will say, I wish I would never made this film. I wish to be able to exchange this to Russia never attacking Ukraine, never occupying our cities.
Yeah, some very light moments there, but from some pretty serious moments, the ceremony was able to handle both, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people really responded to that. And I think, you know, there's been, I remember other years, like during the Iraq war, when they would just like totally tiptoe around politics. Mm-hmm. So I think I felt like last night was like the right amount. And there are also people wearing Free Palestine pins and stuff. And so it's, you know, I think that's how it should be, is people be able to get to speak their mind, especially on a subject such as that. It was very powerful.
Let's go back to our callers. Bridget is with us in Brookfield. Bridget, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was calling because it seemed when they did the memorial, you know, when people passed away, it was so busy. They had the dancers, they had the two gentlemen singing off to the side, and then they're showing the pictures of the people who passed. It was so distracting. It's like you couldn't actually even give a moment to those people, you know, like a moment of silence, you know, like, oh, so-and-so passed away, I didn't know that, or, oh, I really liked him or her, and because I was looking at all of everything else, the dancers, and they, plus they were blocking the screen, kind of.
Bridget, thanks for the call. That Bridget is not alone, Rob. That is one of the most common criticisms I think I've seen of the ceremony last night.
I think that's a very fair criticism, and I don't know why they've done that lately. Rather than having a full screen, they show the orchestra and the dancers, and the screen is in the background, and sort of at some point, like five people were on the screen at the same time, or just a long list of names. They may need to rethink how they do that, because, I mean, it's only going to be more and more people each year. Maybe it needs to be an online-only thing or something. I know they're trying to honor people, but, like, it's almost like doing it halfway is worse than not doing it at all. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call, Bridget. Kay is with us now in Madison. Kay, hello.
Yes, hi. I was sorry that American Fiction didn't get more awards. I really liked that movie. And Jeffrey, I'm blanking on his last name.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright, I thought was excellent, but it said so much about stereotypes.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Rob, your thoughts on American Fiction?
I really like that movie. I agree. I was really happy it got Best Adapted Screenplay. It was one of those ones where it didn't seem like a front runner for Best Picture or Best Actor, even though Jeffrey Wright was very good. Sterling K. Brown was great, and who was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And it's I think that movie must be streaming by now. And it's great because it's like this really funny satire, but also like a very touching family drama at the same time. And the fact that Cord Jefferson, the rare director, is able to balance those things was really unusual and interesting. I do highly recommend that movie.
Thanks, Kay, for the call. Talking to Rob Thomas from the Cap Times about last night's Oscars. We heard from Matt in Appleton, who says the Ryan Gosling Ken bit was a tip of the hat to Buzzley Berkeley classic Hollywood. Here's a listen.
I'm just Ken.
Not hitting all the notes there, Ryan, but the onstage shtick was pretty good.
I can't imagine another actor doing that. Like, I mean, he's nominated, so he's got to have some degree of nerves that night, even though that was after that his category. And to, like, get in front of, you know, the world and your peers and just belt it out like that with such conviction and such humor. I mean, I think that is one of, like, the all-time great Oscar moments.
Thanks a lot for that email. I want to talk, Rob, a little bit about, okay, so people are looking back at last year. If there were movies that they missed, which are the ones at the top of their list, of your list, for them to catch up on?
Well, the Oscars, I really, and I was late to this too, but Past Lives, which was nominated for Best Picture, is a fantastic movie. And I'm not sure if that's on one of the streamers yet, but Greta, that's a really great movie, and I highly recommend it. Sort of a bittersweet, not really a love triangle, but about this woman who's sort of torn between her past and present. And what else would I pick that was really good? Yeah, I'm sort of blanking at the moment, I think. Yeah.
Sure. Well, so what are you watching for now? Here we are, 2024. What are you watching for, either when it comes to individual movies or maybe trends from what we saw the Oscars last night that you're watching for more of?
Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, we had the writers and actor strikes last year, which shut down production for 5 months. So this might be a year with not as many movies at the Cineplex. So I'm hoping that this means there's more opportunity for more international films. Like Godzilla Minus One was a surprise hit. It actually made more money here than it did in this native Japan. And I would love to see this being an opportunity where if there's fewer blockbusters this summer, people will go back out and check out some things like that might not have gotten the platform they did otherwise.
And one thing that has been a weird financial trend is Hollywood completes a movie. There's a Wile E. Coyote movie, a Batgirl movie, and then doesn't release it. Apparently for tax reasons or whatever, they actually do better in some cases than releasing a movie. Do you feel offended, like, knowing that there is a movie more or less in the can that we just can't see?
It's horrifying. I mean, I feel so bad for the filmmakers who work so hard, or their movies that, like, or TV shows even, that don't do well, and they just get canceled off streaming, and they just don't exist anymore. And hopefully, like that Coyote versus Acme movie you mentioned, there's been such a backlash to that that I'm hoping the studios and the streamers will, you know, not want to take that negative attention and we'll finally release it, right?
Yeah. Weirdly, I want to see it more than I would have.
Absolutely.
If it had just been in the theater.
Yeah, why are you keeping it from us? Yeah.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, I loved it. Thanks.
That's Rob Thomas, features editor at The Cap Times. He writes about movies and TV in his Substack newsletter. You can look it up. It's called Not That Rob Thomas. Apparently, there's some other, I guess, kind of famous Rob Thomas in pop culture. I don't know nothing about that. We've been talking about memorable moments from last night's Academy Awards ceremony and a little bit about the future of movies. Still time for you to share your favorite movies of the last year, Oscar quality or not. Email us, ideas@WPR.org. Again, that's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to The Ideas Network.